a few different passages, starting in John 6. And really, I was thinking, we've had some different missionary-minded presentations in the past few weeks, and I know that oftentimes, especially when we talk about being a young believer, just being believers in general, sometimes we need to have our foundation shored up on how good our God is. We've been spending in the past year or so, several different lessons talking about the necessity, the inevitability of the fact that a Christian will live as a Christian. In other words, I talk about salvation as a cataclysmic activity. When you get saved, your life changes. You go from death to life, darkness to light, and there will then be fruit. But along with that, going along with our study in Galatians, emphasize God's continuing power in holding those who are His own in His hand. See, whether it's with someone in the Arabian Peninsula, or someone in Siberia and Russia, or somewhere else, there's always a fear that if someone professes faith in Christ, and then all of a sudden their gospel lifeline moves away, what's going to happen? We had a neighbor, a friend in our old neighborhood, who professed faith in Christ. And we were the only lifeline to in that person's life for the gospel. And the fear is, what's going to happen if we go, if someone else goes? The substance of what I want to just refresh our hearts and comfort our minds with is that God keeps His own. Those who come to Christ, those who trust in Christ, those who, as we're studying in Galatians, who are justified by faith, God keeps them. We can be confident in that. One of the blessings of justification by faith is that being saved did not depend upon my activities, and God keeps me saved. We always want to emphasize both sides of that coin. The fact that a Christian will live as a Christian as they grow in the knowledge and understanding of who God is and what He said. But also that God is the one who is keeping and holding and guiding and protecting those who are His. In John chapter 6, particularly starting in verse 35, just read with me a few of these verses here. It says this: Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." At least three times in that context, Jesus says in various ways that everyone who believes, and by that I mean, what the Lord is even talking about is this: the genuine faith that comes from the Lord Himself. Actually, there are many who had false faith, and as a matter of fact, at the end of this chapter, many leave Jesus, many walk away because He's saying hard things. But what Jesus is saying here is that those who come to me, I will not cast out. This is God's will, that I raise them up on the last day. So whether a neighbor that you're witnessing to and maybe makes a profession of faith, and then you move away or they move away, maybe you go on a missions trip or you're located in another country and there are not very many Christians around, what in the world will God do? We know confidently that God says, that Christ has said, that it is His the will of God that He came down to raise all those up on the last day who've come to Him. This is comforting. I remember growing up in the Midwest, How often I'd go to bed at night and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I know I've said I believed in you in the past, but in case I didn't really mean it back then, I really mean it now, and Lord, I want you to save me. And there's this kind of uncertainty that comes with immature faith. But the more we know about our God is that He is one who keeps us and holds us. Which, when we're talking about sharing the gospel, while we always want to be able to, if we can, follow up with people we speak to, follow up with people that we, and disciple them who we share the gospel with, we know confidently that anyone who truly believes in Christ will never fall away. And Jesus says, I think very powerfully, this is the will of Him who sent me. That of all that He's given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. This is God's will for Christ. Often I'll stop talk about God's will for us, which is very clearly laid out in the Scriptures. This is God's will in Christ. That all that is given to Him, that when the Father gives to the Son, the church essentially is what we're talking about, He's going to keep all that come to Him and raise them up. That's a comforting thing. That is a bedrock of truth that we can rest upon. When our faith is shaken by difficulties or when we are uncertain, we can know for certain that God is not shaken, that His promise is not tenuous. He will raise us up on the last day. If our salvation was dependent upon our works, Paul's whole argument in Galatians is against the idea of works salvation. If our salvation was based upon that, we'd have no security. Because then Jesus would say something, as long as they continue to do the right things, I'll raise them up on the last day. But that's not what He says. In case you think this might be a one-off, turn into your Bible to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, I'll just start in verse 7 here. This is another one of Jesus' dialogues here. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me, all who came before me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Just pause there. In this context, Jesus, the talking about the sheep, are those who are believers. Those who are the ones who are being drawn by the Father. Those who believe in Christ. And those who are going to believe in Jesus didn't believe the thieves and the robbers. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is the owner of the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one is taken away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. This not only shows that, as Jesus said in John chapter 6, that His command was, His purpose was to raise us up, but He knows by name those who are His. So again, our fears and our concerns and our wafflings that we experience are real, but Jesus knows His own. Those who've trusted in Christ will not be forgotten and not be let go, because He knows them, and He has laid down His life for them. This is a comforting reality. This is not just a nameless, faceless mob, but Jesus knows each one individually. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. So, just as a comforting word about God's power to keep His own, He goes on to say in verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This Jesus, this Good Shepherd who knows His own intimately, holds securely His own sheep. This is comforting. This is comforting because, again, our salvation did not begin based upon our own good efforts or abilities. Our salvation began by faith, which is not according to works. Not according to the good things that we think we could do. The same God who justifies us by our faith is one who keeps us because He knows us. And again, this can and should comfort the believer who is struggling through the mud at times. When you're feeling as if you're bailing water and falling behind, God keeps His own. There's been, as a commentator that I appreciate, he noted recently a tsunami of apostasy of various Christian celebrities, you could say. But now I suppose anybody can be a celebrity depending upon their own sphere of influence. But I mean, there's been a lot of higher profile type of individuals who have said, "I'm done with the faith." Just this week, a prominent writer for a specific worship band said, I'm done with Christianity. I don't believe anymore." These kinds of things can cause some to question God and ask the questions, but we know one thing. Those who are in Christ will be kept. Will be kept. We, as John says in 1 John chapter 2, and it's comforting that the reason why those false believers go out from us is to show they were never of us. And that's comforting. It ought to be comforting to us. Because God keeps His own. The false, the goats will flee. But finally, turn to Romans chapter 8. One of the, most clear and compelling sections of Scripture dealing with this fact that the life which God grants is eternal and not revocable. Or as Paul says in Philippians, that Christ who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. Many of us know, and we've talked through verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, it's a comforting, sometimes a bitter comfort at times, but it's comforting. Where it says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Then verse 29 goes on to share and explain what that purpose is. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He called, or He justified, He also glorified." Excuse me. "This has been called by some the golden chain of redemption. There is not a broken link in this chain." When those who are spoken of those who love God and are called according to His purpose, Paul expands that out as those who are being conformed to the image of Christ. And then in verse 30, particularly, and in verse 29, he draws this line from those who are called. Well, first of all, those he foreknew in verse 29 are predestined. Those are the ones who are predestined are called. Those whom He called are justified. And those who are justified will be glorified. The emphasis that I think I want us to take away tonight is this. We can have confidence that if we are one of those who've been justified, those who've been called, there's glorification in our future. No one falls off this boat. No one falls off this plank. It's not a high wire that you got to maintain your balance. You might fall off halfway through. You're walking on a boulevard. God is good, and we can rest comfortably in the fact that He will keep us. And Paul then goes on to say, what can separate us? Who's going to condemn us? God's already justified us. He's already for us. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. And he goes on to say all kinds of things, and there is no exception to this rule. He ends up with no other created thing can separate us from love of Christ. And by no other thing, he's not saying anybody other than yourself. He's not saying that at all. Some say that. That's a very unfortunate and wrong understanding of that verse. But there's nothing created. The only uncreated is God. And He's the one who's keeping us. So we can be confident. So as much as I stress and I feel the need and urge to stress the fact that those whom God saves will live lives that manifest a sanctified existence. They will manifest the reality they've been saved by God's grace. But those who've trusted in Christ, who've been justified by faith, are secure. Far more secure than anything else that we could ever imagine. And that ought to give us hope and comfort. Because again, it was not your good works or your good qualities that made God save you. It was faith in a good God. And that good God keeps you and holds you. I knew I'd have no chance of getting through my prepared message for tonight, so I'll do that on either Sunday school or next in a week or two. But I hope that just pausing and meditating on our security in Christ Jesus for us who live in this area is comforting. For the friends and loved ones we pray for in other areas or other parts of the world where missions activity is prevalent and the presence of believers might be able to be counted on a few hands. God will keep His own. God's work in keeping someone isn't dependent upon me, upon my influence in their life. He keeps His own because that's what He does. He keeps you because that is what He does. And we can rest comfortably in that. I pray that's an encouraging reminder for us tonight. Would you bow with me as I close in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your goodness to us. That it is by grace through faith that we are saved, and that it is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no one may boast. That we are justified by faith, just like Abraham and all who've gone before us. That it is not by any kind of good works or religious duties that we are saved, nor is it by good works or religious duties that we are kept. We are kept by You because You have promised to save us. That all who come to You will be saved. May that be a comforting reminder in days of uncertainty when those who may walk with us for a time depart from us. We know that You keep Your own. May we rest in that, not in any confidence of our own flesh. Now, Lord, be with us as we go to our work tomorrow and our activities. Be with Casey as she travels back in a few days here. Lord, may we continue to be vigorous proponents and evangelists for those in our sphere of influence, and may we continue to be faithful in our obedience and casting our cares and our concerns to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.